Before we begin, just a quick note. If this conversation about alcohol, identity, and desire resonates, my new book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is out now. And if you want to go deeper, slowly, thoughtfully, and in ways that genuinely nourish you, I've opened the Thirsty For More Mindset Lab on Substack. You'll find links to both in the show notes. Right. Let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink, the podcast for anyone questioning their relationship with alcohol or simply wondering what more life might hold. I'm Anna Donaghy, alcohol mindset coach, author, and former strategist, and each episode is going to blend lived experience, psychological insight, and powerful tools to help you understand your habits and gently rethink your drinking in a way that throws open oodles of possibilities. So whether you're trying to quit, cut down, or you're just plain curious, then you are in the right place. Let's rethink things together and explore what you're really thirsty for. Hello, hello, and welcome back to an episode where I want to ask a question that has the power to change everything. A very simple question. What if you're not the problem? Because so many people arrive here at a point where they're rethinking, especially if you feel like it's running away with you and you're not really in control of your drinking anymore, carrying a sense that something is wrong with them, that they're too weak, undisciplined, bad at moderation, too emotional. And alcohol becomes the place where all of that self-criticism lands. So before we talk about drinking, before we talk about habits or change, I want to talk about you and the story that you might have been telling yourself for a very long time. Now, we live in a culture that talks a lot about personal responsibility, and on the surface, that makes sense. But when something starts to feel hard or messy, responsibility often gets confused with blame. The question becomes not what's going on here, but what's wrong with me? Which means that if something isn't working, the answer could be, well, I must try harder. I must be better. I must have more willpower. I need to somehow download a better version of myself. And when alcohol starts to feel sticky or heavier than you'd like or less fun than it used to be, the conclusion is almost always there must be something wrong with me. And that conclusion doesn't come out of nowhere, by the way. It is deeply rooted in the way that we have been taught to think about alcohol, largely through the lens of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, AA has helped a huge number of people. I want to be very, very clear about that. But it's also given us a very particular framework, one that most of us absorb without realizing. And in that framework, if alcohol becomes a problem, the explanation is internal. You're an alcoholic. You have an intolerance. Or you have an allergy. Something about you is fundamentally different, / wonky. And culturally, that's left us with a very neat, but very limiting split. Alcoholics on the one side, normal drinkers on the other. And if you're an alcoholic, there's a path and a language and a community. And if you're a normal drinker, the assumption is that alcohol should be fine. And if it isn't, well, that's also on you. But there's very little room in that story for the huge grey middle, for people whose drinking hasn't destroyed their lives, but also isn't really working for them anymore. People who don't identify with the word alcoholic, but still feel that something's off. So when alcohol starts to feel harder, the only explanation we've been given is, I must be the exception. I must be broken. I must have a problem. I must be a problem. And that is a bloody heavy conclusion to land on, especially when there might be other, far more interesting explanations available. So what if that assumption is flawed? What if you're not broken, but you are in fact responding perfectly normally to a highly addictive substance, a culture that centers alcohol in almost every social ritual, chronic stress, emotional overload, pressure to cope quietly and efficiently, that's the pressure many of us are living under, the pressure to cope quietly and efficiently, just to keep functioning, keep performing, keep things moving, don't make a fuss. We're encouraged to be capable, self-contained, emotionally literate, but not emotionally inconvenient. You know, manage our own stresses, regulate ourselves, stiff upper lip, carry on. But when things feel overwhelming, the unspoken expectation isn't that we stop, it's that we find a way to absorb the impact without it showing too much. And alcohol fits that brief perfectly. It smooths over the edges, it lowers the volume, it helps you carry on without asking for anything from anyone else. So if drinking has become a way of coping efficiently, of staying functional and pleasant and productive and composed, that's not a personal failing. That's arguably a perfectly logical response to the world that we're living in, that rewards people who can manage themselves quietly without disrupting the system. So let me say this really clearly. If alcohol has become a way that you switch off, soften anxiety, take the edge off, mark the end of a day, feel more confident, feel less alone, that doesn't make you weak. That makes you human. Alcohol is very good at what it does. It is very good at what it does. It temporarily lowers inhibition, dulls discomfort, and quietens the nervous system temporarily. So if you've lent on it, especially during busy, demanding, emotionally complex years, that doesn't say anything damning about you. It says that you're doing your best with the tools that you had, tools that society was very, very happy to put in front of you. And maybe, just maybe, therefore, the problem isn't you. And when you see it like that, the question shifts. It's no longer what's wrong with me. It becomes, okay, why is this the tool I've ended up relying on? And once you're asking that, another question can follow quite naturally. Instead of asking, why can't I control myself? You can ask, what has alcohol been doing for me? What has it been doing for me? What have I wanted it to do for me? Because that curiosity is everything. That one shift moves us from judgment to understanding. You know, from shame to exploration. And from force to insight. And insight is where the real change begins. When we stop treating drinking as a moral issue, that's what we do. When we stop treating drinking as a moral issue and start seeing it as a signal, then we open the door to something far more empowering. So many people think the work here is about becoming a non-drinker. I don't think that's true. I think the real work is becoming someone who listens to themselves, notices what they need, and designs a life that they don't want to escape from. Alcohol often shrinks naturally when life expands, not because you forced it, but because it stopped being the best solution available. That's not failure. That is evolution. So can we just drop all sense of it being your fault if you've run up against problems with your drinking, if you're struggling to control it, if you feel you're too dependent on it? You didn't invent alcohol. You didn't design a culture that centers it everywhere. You didn't choose the stress, the pressure, the pace, or expectations that made it such a useful tool. None of that is your fault. But, and this does matter, it really matters, it is your responsibility, not in a punitive way, not in a you should be better way, but in the quiet, grown-up sense of responsibility that says, this is my life. This is my body. This is my one nervous system. And I want to look after it. I want to nourish it. I want to make the best that I can of it. So responsibility doesn't mean blame. Responsibility means agency. It means recognizing that while you may not have caused the pattern, you're the one who gets to decide what happens next. You're the one who gets to ask better questions. You're the one who gets to choose whether this tool still earns its place in your life or whether something else might support you better now. And that's real power, because responsibility framed this way isn't heavy. It's clarifying. It gives you your hands back on the steering wheel. And from there, change doesn't start with shame or force. It starts with curiosity, with honesty, and the simple decision to take yourself and your whole life experience seriously. So this is not about being good or bad with alcohol. It's about being awake in your own life. And that's where everything really begins. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. It really helps other people find the show. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find all of my resources and become part of the Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebigdrinkrethink.com.